please rise.
There you are.
Mr. Hansen, will you lead us in the pledge to our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You're seated. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Walker.
Present.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Engel.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Present.
Councilmember Gibbert.
Here. Councilperson Mutchler has asked to be excused. He's off doing something probably more fun than this.
No.
No.
Probably not.
Fun was a key
word.
He's
doing some kind of a preacher convention thing.
I move we excuse Councilmember Mutchler.
I second.
Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the point where anyone in the audience can address the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything that's not on tonight's agenda. So I got a hand up here that's faster than that one. You're free to come forward, sir, and welcome. Name and address, if you'd like.
My name is Fred Rudolph, and I live in Portal Creek Park, right here in town. And I was here to the council the first Monday in February and asked you to do something about two buildings on Portal Way, one that should be tore down immediately, and the other one should also be the same. There's kids around in that area, and if any of the kids get in there and got hurt, it would be your responsibility. And if I was a parent and one of them and got hurt, I'd sue you for $10 million. I wouldn't hesitate one damn bit. And up to now, you have done absolutely nothing. Why not? Don't you have an ordinance?
Refresh my memory on where they are.
One is just a couple of, a little bit past Pete's and across from Pioneer almost.
Pete Hartzell's?
One of them is made out of wood. It's all black. The windows are boarded. The windows are broken. And it's covered with brush. Okay. And it looks like hell, to be honest about it.
Running director, response?
Yes, we have, as a first step of the enforcement process, sent a letter to the property owners. The property owners do not live in Ferndale. We, as the council may be aware, generally wish to pursue things informally before we initiate the formal enforcement process that could result in pretty serious financial penalties. We've not heard back from them yet, so the next step would be to go through that more formal enforcement process and to abate if necessary.
Yep. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Currently, are either one of these properties for sale? Are they got?
No, it's not to my knowledge. It's not.
Vacant.
It's just covered with brush, and you can't see nothing else but the old black building behind it. And then there's a little cement building down the road, a little bit further from there, that is open and nothing's there, and I know kids probably go in there and play.
Do we have Mr. Rudolph's contact information so we can keep him in this loop?
I got that last time and nothing happened. Not a thing.
Let's try to keep him in the loop then.
We will.
Okay.
Has a letter been written to the owners yet?
Yes, sir.
How long do you give them to reply?
We typically give them just 10 days to apply during the normal enforcement process. We requested in the letter that they contact us, and since they have not yet done so, then we would do that enforcement letter that does give them just the 10 days, and then the formal enforcement process would begin.
If you don't hear anything, then what?
Then we would start to cite them with civil citations for a nuisance violation. I believe that our inspector did go out there, and there was not an immediate danger of the buildings falling down, nor was there any immediate way to access the shuttered building. And so, based on that, there was not the immediate danger threat, but they are certainly unattractive, and we would proceed accordingly.
Frankly, I think enough time has passed that it should be done now, And does the city tear the building down and put a lien on the property?
If the city believes that there's an imminent threat of danger, then the city could.
Certainly it's an imminent danger for kids. They can get in that building. They get in the other building, too.
But we'd have
and
to
no
have
telling
have
what's going to go on in there.
We would have to have court action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've learned takes a while.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep Mr. Rudolph in there.
We certainly will.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rudolph.
Okay. Thank you.
I had one more. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Heidi Kenyon on Douglas Road, and I just am here before the council to introduce myself. I'm the new manager of the Ferndale Public Market. I've already met several of you. And so I want you to feel free to contact me about the market, and especially if you have any questions, if you want to juggle or you know any musicians or you want to sell some potatoes or whatever. All of my contact information is on the market website, which is ferndalepublicmarket.org. And I also want to encourage you to attend the market every Saturday without fail and bring at least 20 people with you, different people every time. So I just really wanted to introduce myself and say thanks for welcoming me into the community. I'm new to Ferndale.
And you open when?
We open on Saturday.
This coming Saturday.
Good. The mayor will be doing a lovely blueberry dance for us, I think.
It starts at 10. Don't miss
some
it.
Some embarrassing.
Right, something wonderfully embarrassing, and we'll have him ring the bell, and then we're honored to have the Lummi Nation coming in and doing their blessings as well. So we'll have a fantastic market season. Also, I do have posters, market posters. If you own a business or know someone who would like to put the poster up for me, be in touch.
Great, thank you. Any questions for our market manager? Councilperson Ingram?
Have you been down to the Tulip Festival?
Not yet.
Have you ever been down to the Tulip Festival?
No.
Go down to the Tulip Festival, maybe Sunday or something, and look at the amazing kites that they fly at the Tulip Festival.
Kites?
They are as big as this building.
Is that what we should have a mayor do? We should have him fly?
No, but I mean, I'm thinking that...
We tried that last year.
I'm thinking that the company that makes those kites possibly might be looking at other venues to have them flying at.
Oh, cool.
Like
okay.
A public market?
Yeah, I'll check that out.
And we get a pretty steady breeze up the river.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on their website today, and they say that they're extremely low wind friendly.
Oh, great.
And they were up there, 8 or 10 of them,
yeah,
at the Tulip Festival, and just floating along up in the sky and
yeah, I'll check
making
that out.
Shadows on the ground. It was...
Sounds pretty, yeah. And it would bring people in.
Sure.
I'm going this week.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Give me a card. Anybody have another question for me?
No. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else for the public comment period that's not on tonight's agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on. Council, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moving second. And all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay. Next up. We'll bring our extremely eloquent, experienced police chief to the forward podium, please. Welcome, Chief Knapp.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. Nice to see you all. One of the pleasures of my career is to announce new leadership and new membership into our profession. So March and April were great months for the Ferndale Police Department because March we promoted two new sergeants after a day-long examination that was in February called the Sergeant's Assessment Center, somewhat akin, I am told, to a one-day root canal. It is not a pleasant experience. It tests the candidates in areas of management, leadership, tactical know-how, written and oral skills. The two candidates that were the top performers were promoted and are here, and I'm going to have them stand after a brief introduction. The first is Steve Gamage. He is the most senior officer here in Ferndale, and he was promoted to sergeant in March 1 of this year. He's already served in various responsible capacities in the police department, He was the school resource officer, a Western Washington University political science graduate, and he is going to be a good, strong leader. Sergeant Gamage, it's a pleasure to serve with you. Thank you very much. Kevin Davis, he entered on duty in 2008, was promoted with Sergeant Gamage on the 1st of March. He's a field training officer. He also teaches emergency vehicle operation. He's a former correctional deputy. He attended Whatcom Community College in criminal justice. Not only a wonderful young leader, a wonderful personality, he will be with us for a long time and will rise through the ranks, and it's a pleasure to be associated with you. Thank you so much. Now we have two new members. The first, Jason Torgerson. Both of them are good-looking. As I've always said, you know, the first requirement to be an officer here is your looks. Then we look at your qualifications. Jason Torgerson, born in Idaho, graduated Western Washington University in Human Resources. He's unmarried, for anyone, young females here. He served in the United States Air Force. He lives in Ferndale. He just completed the Basic Law Enforcement Academy, where he was certified as a peace officer, the last group of peace officers, the most recent group of peace officers in this state. He was commended for his extracurricular activities at the academy. He represented Ferndale very well. It's a pleasure to have you, Jason. Thank you so much. All of them could be young enough to be our son.
Yeah, don't go there. They'll be calling me Grandpa pretty soon.
They already do.
Yeah. Oh.
Sky Ortiz. I only say this because he told me that it's the interpretation. Dos Palos?
Palos.
California. Two Sticks. That's where he was born. Dos Two Sticks, California. I was born in Berkeley, but he was born in Two Sticks, California. Troy State College, Alabama. Army, served in Afghanistan, Iraq. Purple Heart, Bronze Star, as well as the Army Commendation for Valor. Married to Tannis, girl, Kaylee, age 5. A boy, Tristan, 5 months. This guy has everything. The first day of the academy, how many members were there?
Approximately 30 start out.
And then 4 or 5 dropped by the wayside, was that it?
Yes, sir.
And Sky was chosen as the president because you can, not unlike Jason and not unlike Kevin and Steve, these people have natural leadership qualities. And they recognized that and voted him the president of the class. And he was the one that spoke for the class at the graduation, recognizing not only his contribution to our nation, but his affiliation with the city of Ferndale. It's wonderful, and we're grateful for your services and honor to serve with you. Thank you so much. So, you're to see him in your rearview mirror. You know what they look like.
Thank you, Chief.
One thing, Chief, you've got to tell these fabulous young sergeants of ours that they got to get some dirt on those stripes. They're blinding me up here.
Personal.
Okay, moving on. We have a presentation by the Domestic Violence Commission. Welcome,
Thank you. I'm Susan Marks. I'm the director of the Bellingham-Whatcom County Commission. That's here, not to move. I'm the director of the Bellingham-Whatcom County Commission Against Domestic Violence. And in my tenure there, I've learned that I will never be as eloquent as Mike Knapp, so I will not even try. And this worked a second ago.
It's quirky.
Oh, there we go. All right, so a little bit about the Domestic Violence Commission. Our history, we were formed in 1998 with a joint resolution between the City of Bellingham and Whatcom County. And then in 2006, all of the other municipalities in Whatcom County passed ordinances of support. So we now officially serve every jurisdiction in Whatcom County. And our mission is to provide leadership in the community's efforts to prevent and reduce domestic violence. And what that basically means is that we don't provide any direct services. So we're different than DVSAS or Women Care Shelter. Our job is to really look at the systems level issues and responses to domestic violence and try to improve the way our community responds to domestic violence, try to make it so that we do a better job in ending domestic violence in Whatcom County. So we have several DV Commission members who are from the City of Ferndale, including Mayor Jensen, Chief Knapp, the Superintendent Linda Quinn, and Manuel Retta, who is the President of the Northwest Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We're actually, Ferndale is the most well-represented city on the commission. Just a little bit of data about domestic violence in Ferndale. It's a lot of numbers, and I'll kind of go through them quickly. You actually, in your packets, have two things. One is a copy of presentation, so you can see these numbers, and then also our full roster of everyone who's on the commission at this time. So in 2010, the Ferndale Police Department responded to 81 domestic violence offenses and 126 verbals, which means more than 200 domestic violence calls they responded to in 2010, and that was 16% of all the offenses that Ferndale Police Department responded to. There were 97 misdemeanor charges filed in Ferndale Municipal Court with 50 defendants, so some of those defendants had multiple charges against them, and that should say City of Ferndale, but there are 14 domestic violence felony cases filed from the City of Ferndale in Whatcom County Superior Court. That was my typo. And then the domestic violence specialist, who's an advocate who serves the small cities of Whatcom County, the victims in the small cities, from January through June of 2010, she made 197 contacts with 28 victims. And from July through December, she made 206 contacts with 37 victims. And she ensures that the victims are active in the criminal justice process so that we can be more effective in prosecuting perpetrators. But I think all those numbers can be a little bit overwhelming, hard to understand. It's hard to wrap our minds around 81 or 14 or 50 defendants. It's hard to think about what that actually means to our community. And instead, it's important to think about what happens when there's a victim. And this is one of the most extreme examples of domestic violence in Bellingham in the past year. And there was also a fatality in Ferndale in 2009. There are actually two fatalities related to domestic violence. But in 2011, there was one in the City of Bellingham. I think it indicates what happens to a community when there's very severe domestic violence. And so in July of 2011, a woman from the City of Bellingham was shot by her estranged husband. She was divorcing him, and she had a restraining order out against him, and she planned to take her son and move away and be back near her family. And he apparently did not want to pay child support and also did not want to lose his son. And he shot her, and she died. And what she left behind was she left behind a 7-year-old son who had to be taken by social services because he actually lost both of his parents in that incident. And he is now living with his grandparents, but he's lost his parents, both of his parents, forever. And when we had a vigil for her, there were many community members who came and spoke. His teachers and his daycare provider came and spoke and talked about what a wonderful mother this woman had been, what a pleasure this boy had been to see in their class. And then they had explained to classmates of a 7-year-old why this little boy was not returning and what had happened to his family. And then she had worked at Barnes & Noble for many years, and she had a coworker was actually the one who had found her. And she had coworkers who come and spoke about seeing her every day and working with her and what it was like to worry when she didn't show up for work for several days in a row because that wasn't like her. And there actually was even a customer who had been her long-term customer who came and talked about she'd always gotten good book recommendations from her and always looked forward to seeing her smile when she walked into Barnes & Noble. And then she had neighbors who lived in the apartment building with her who talked about what it was like to, I mean, they'd seen her every day. They'd said hello in the hallway, and then she was no longer there. And so when this happens to one person, it's touched all these people in her life. It's touched her child, it's touched teachers, people she worked with, her neighbors, her friends. And it also touched all of us in the field because for us, when it gets to the point of a fatality, that means that there's nothing else that we can do for that situation. There's nothing else we can do to make it better. And so it really ripples out into the entire community. So each one of those numbers, it's not just one person, it's not just one victim, it's every person that they touch is impacted by the domestic violence. And that's why it's so important for us to respond at the community level, because it's not just an individual problem, it's not just a family problem, it's a problem that touches our entire community when it touches one person in our community. And so that story kind of provides some context to some of the work that we are focusing on right now. We just passed a new strategic plan about 6 months ago, and there were really two things we're looking at in the plan. And one is we actually want to make it a real impact on domestic violence in Whatcom County. I think over the years we've done a very good job of serving victims. We've done a very good job of building relationships and collaborations across multiple systems. But we haven't really made an impact on the numbers of victims of domestic violence. That really is the goal, is to end domestic violence. So there are two ways that we would like to try to do that. And one is working on how the system's been community responds to children when they are impacted by domestic violence, when there's homes where there's domestic violence, because all the statistics show that when children grow up in homes with domestic violence, they are more likely to become victims and they are more likely to become perpetrators. And even if they don't do any of those, they often can suffer other consequences throughout their life. And so if we want to end domestic violence, we have to serve those children who are being impacted. And then the other piece is the perpetrators, that we can serve every victim, but if a perpetrator, they move on to another victim. So as soon as one victim gets safe and leaves, then they'll move on to another one, and that's another victim. And so we want to see how our systems are responding to perpetrators and try to stop those perpetrators from moving on, because that's the way to prevent them from getting more victims. And then we want to reach out to victims who are underserved, and there's kind of two ways that we want to do that. And one is we're going to do a formal review of some of the fatalities that were in Whatcom County in the past several years. Between 2009 and 2011, there were 11 intimate partner fatalities. So we're going to look at several different cases and what happened in those cases and try to figure out how we can better reach out to those victims, because many of those victims had never received any services or never called law enforcement, and we want to know how could we have helped them know what resources were out in the community. And then our other project is related to domestic violence in the workplace. And this is, most victims have jobs, and oftentimes they need time off of work so that they can go to court, so they can get order of protection, so that they can seek social services, so they can seek housing. There's many different needs that they have, and we have developed model policies and procedures so that any workplace, if they adopt them, then they will know what to do if a victim is at their workplace. And actually also helps them follow Washington state law, because there's state law about this. It also helps the victim know that there are resources out there. And I believe the city of Ferndale is looking at adopting these. Sam and I have had a few email conversations about this. So that means any employee of the city of Ferndale will have these opportunities open to them. And if anyone else works anywhere that would like to consider adopting them, please let me know. Or you could also talk to either Mayor Jensen or Chief Knapp, because they're both helping out with this initiative. Okay. Then we just have a few kind of ongoing things that we do every year. Every year we put out data, what that data that I showed you came from, so we can keep track of how domestic violence is progressing in Whatcom County, what those indicators are, how many people are calling law enforcement, et cetera. We always do activities for Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October to raise general level community awareness about domestic violence and to honor victims who have experienced domestic violence. And then we either put on local trainings and conferences here in Whatcom County, and we'll bring in some national trainers, and we also send people from Whatcom County to national trainings and conferences elsewhere so that we can really stay at the cutting edge of responding to domestic violence. And actually last year we sent an officer from the Ferndale Police Department to a training in San Diego on law enforcement issues and investigation in response to domestic violence. And then this year we have two new grants that we're working on. One is, it's actually a continuation grant. It's our fourth time getting this. It's called the Grants to Encourage Arrest and Enforcement of Protection Orders program. And this is the fourth time in a row we've gotten it. And one of the primary things we're funding with it is that domestic violence specialist position who serves the five small cities and victims with criminal cases in the five small cities. And this is the third time, actually, that we've used this grant to fund this position. So this year, it's fully funded, and next year we're supposed to move toward sustainability, so it's half funded. So we're looking for funding for that second part, which maybe at some point we'll be looking to the cities as well as to other businesses and other grant sources for. And then a new grant that we got, both of these are through the U.S. Department of Justice, is to work with middle and high schools, and we actually on this we partnered with the Ferndale School District and we wrote this grant, and this is a pilot project. It's the first time it was offered by the U.S. Department of Justice. They've decided they want to reach out to youth for all the same reasons that we talked about, making impact with children. And only 9 sites were chosen nationwide, and the Ferndale School District was chosen as one of the pilot site. So we have a three-year grant, and the model that we create here in Ferndale will be used nationwide as a model for responding to issues of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And we also hope to use this as a model in the rest of Whatcom County, but it's very exciting. And I think part of the reason we got this is because of the participation on the DV Commission of all of the people from Ferndale. We had all the right people at the table when we wrote the grant. We could show that we had all the relationships already. So it'll be very exciting to see how this progresses. We're about 4 months into it, so we're just in the planning stages. But it should be very exciting.
When does the grant come out? And step two is the grant you're applying for now?
Oh, that's the one we just received it, yes.
Just received the $550,000?
Yes. Nice. Yeah. And all that money doesn't actually all, lots of it doesn't actually come to the commission. We usually have part of it that we'll use for the grant coordination, but then we often kind of contract it out to other agencies to pay for other services, like the school district or service agencies. And that's it. If anyone has any questions, of course, anytime you can contact me, that's my contact information, or I'm happy to entertain questions or comments now.
Susan, do you want to touch a little bit? I mean, there's a great program going on now that everyone in the audience could help us with.
Oh, the DV in the workplace.
DV in the workplace and our cell phone situation.
Oh, right.
Our champion of the cell phone situation looked like he took a call on his
cell phone. Oh, he did.
So I was going to have
apparently
him
he's kept
that.
One.
Well, he's coming right in. So
the
we'll,
defending national champion.
defending national champion.
We'll let Mr. Eloquent come tell us that.
We were just going to talk about the cell phone collection
campaign
and how
we're
the defending champion.
Right now, but we're hoping that this is going to be the same thing as it was last year. So we encourage all of you, if you don't have cell phones, please go out and buy some and give us those cell phones. Because the more cell phones we get, we donate to domestic violence. Last year we collected 1,500 phones, and we bested our major competitor, the Los Angeles Police Department. And so we got $10,000 for domestic violence education under the superb leadership of Susan Marks and family.
And so any kind of phone,
any kind of phone,
have to have a charger.
Doesn't have to have a charger, doesn't even have to work. And then we send it back, it's stripped, they take the SIMS card out so that all your personal data is saved from misuse and it's destroyed. And they put a new SIMS card in and they program with 911 and all the calls that would benefit a victim of domestic violence, shelters and other services that they might need. It's 1,000 minutes, and they give it to victims of domestic violence. They can always reach out for help.
Great.
Yes. And there's multiple collection sites in Ferndale, and if anyone wants the list, it's on our website. It's dvcommission.org/cellphones, so you can get the list, or you can call me.
Questions for Susan? Great.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
He was
nice. I know.
Okay, next up, Council, we had scheduled a presentation by the Building Industry Association of Whatcom County, but I don't see anyone for the Building Association. So I don't, I guess we'll just cancel that and maybe they'll call us back. So next up is a proclamation of Building Safety Month. I'll read the proclamation and then I'll bring up our planning director to talk about the proclamation and introduce some very fine employees. So this is the City of Ferndale Mayor Proclamation. Whereas our city's continual efforts to address the critical issues of safety, energy efficiency, and sustainability in the built environment that affects our citizens, both in everyday life and in times of natural disaster, give us confidence that our structures are safe, sound, and whereas confidence is achieved through the devotion of a vigilant guardian, building safety and fire prevention officials, architects, engineers, builders, laborers, plumbers, and others in the construction industry, I put that in, who work year-round to ensure the safety construction of buildings, and whereas the building safety, energy, and fire prevention codes include safeguards to protect the public from natural disasters such as hurricanes, snowstorms, tornadoes, wildfire fires, earthquakes, and whereas Building Safety Month, an international celebration of safe and sensible structures, is the theme for Building Safety Month 2012, encourages all Americans to raise awareness of the importance of building safety, energy and green building, disaster safety and mitigation, fire safety and awareness, and backyard safety, and whereas Building Safety Month 2012 encourages the appropriate steps everyone can take to ensure that the places where we live, learn, work, worship, play are safe, sustainable, and recognizes that countless lives have been saved due to the implementation of safety codes by local and state agencies. Now, therefore, I, Gary Jensen, Mayor of City of Ferndale, do hereby proclaim month of May 2012 as Building Safety Month and call upon all residents of this great city to join me in raising the awareness in our community and practicing building and life safety.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Before I introduce three really fantastic employees of our building division, I wanted to kind of follow up on that. We know that the buildings that we live in, that we work in, that we go and shop in are safe and will be safe to go into, or maybe more importantly, go out of in case of an emergency, because we do have people who've dedicated their livelihoods to looking at the way that they're constructed, looking to making sure that they will remain supported during an emergency, or at least that you can get out of them safely. We know that our fire department, who are true heroes who go in to an emergency fire situation, take advantage or are able to take advantage of the way that it's been designed so that they can rescue people who would be trapped inside, who would otherwise be trapped inside, and so that people who would otherwise be trapped inside can get out. So much of what we have as far as building safety is based on, unfortunately, disasters that have happened in other places. But we have three employees that I'm going to introduce who make sure that there has not been a single fatality in Ferndale due to unsafe building construction. Before I do introduce them, you'll see through the month of May advertisements on the city's Facebook page, Twitter account, little factoids about Building Safety Month. You'll also be able to go down to the Ferndale Public Library and see a display. As part of that display, the city will have a drawing later on in the month where items donated by True Value, Ace, and ProBuild will be given out. They are related to building safety, and hopefully those displays are going to enable the public to have a better understanding about building safety, disaster preparedness, green building, and backyard safety. So with that being said, I'd like to introduce three people that I really love working with, and they are really a credit to the city. First of all, one person who I think is probably the only person who can say that he's probably been inside your house at one point or another, our building inspector, Craig Bryant, who's served the city for more than two decades. Craig? Right there.
Standing heads and shoulders in
yeah.
This field.
Next, we have Jerry Shiner, who's our plans examiner. He's also one of our code enforcement officers. He is the gentleman who reviews building plans, residential, commercial, industrial, to check and see whether or not they do, in fact, comply with codes, and then he works with the applicants to make sure that they do comply with those codes. He has also served us for more than a decade here in Ferndale. So, Jerry Shiner. Then finally, Marcy Whiteman, our permit specialist. She is the person who is your primary point of contact when you're coming in for a building permit or a building permit question. She is often the person who, as we're going to be discussing fees next, is the one that breaks the news to people about what the fees are that they're going to have to pay, and responds to those frontline questions and makes it so my job is that much easier where she can send the public in the direction that they need to go and give them the information that they need. So, Marcy Whiteman. They're a great building division, and I really do value all of your contributions to the city. Thank you.
Council, questions or comments? No? Seeing none? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Sure.
Are there any safe buildings in Ferndale in case of emergency?
Someplace you should be.
Oh, in an event of, like, a natural disaster. Craig, do you want to tackle that one?
Well, a lot of times we use, if there was like a place to, where people stay, and if their house yeah.
We use the churches for, we've had the churches have a plan for cold weather nights in case we have an emergency shelter. But, Jerry?
Is there a report shelter?
We do have a reciprocal agreement between the jurisdictions and the
Milwaukee
County of Bellingham, where we've gone through and I've gone to some classes. And because some of us live on one side of the river and the others live on the other side of the river, if there was a natural disaster, say,
I am proud to say by August 1st, for sure, is that we'll finally have, in conjunction with the Old Dam Renewal Police Department, we'll have the ability to have an emergency operations center, the ability to communicate with each other, to have public works right there. So we'll have a place where our city leaders will go, our police will go, our public works will go, and be able to at least run the city and communicate with each other. And at worst case scenario, we'd move all city government to our police station. It's sized and wired for that appropriateness. So hopefully it's, I hope in our lifetime it never gets you.
Me too.
Okay, you want anything else, or should we move on to the next agenda item?
That's all that I have.
Okay, a round of applause for our... Okay, Council, this is action based upon the Council requesting of the Planning Department to look at downtown development and fees, and so this is your action. We're actually a little bit ahead of schedule in terms of how we'd introduce it in the year, but we thought we'd move forward, so I'll turn the presentation over to you, Ori.
Okay, so the request, the direction from Council was to bring back by the end of December recommendations or a finished document, I should say, that would reduce development fees in the downtown core, generally along Main Street, I believe, was the specific direction. So we've started to do some research. We've also reached out to various state organizations, Housing and Urban Development, and we may actually be able to get a site visit from that state agency that could provide some sustainability direction, some other possible incentives, and who knows, maybe even money. We'll see. They're having a meeting tomorrow about it. But in starting the research and then talking with the Ferndale Economic Development Commission, in an effort to be lean, I guess, we saw that there could be an opportunity if Council wanted to go in that direction to not do quite as much research and go with having a fairly dramatic change to our development programs. We wanted to bring that forward to you to get an idea of which way you're leaning, as well as discuss some of the pros and cons of it. So I think I'll start off with that. What we have heard recently from some property owners downtown is that a complete waiver of development fees, connection fees, and impact fees would be a reasonable and possibly, from certain perspectives, the only reasonable way to jumpstart development, with the expectation that those fees would be waived or eliminated for a period of 2 years in order to provide a sort of amnesty or subsidy during that time to get the ball rolling. And I think the getting the ball rolling is a really good way of putting it, because the ultimate question, I think, as we're talking about this, is what will it take to get the ball rolling on development downtown? Is it going to be the smaller developments? Is it going to be larger so-called catalyst developments that I'll get into in just a second? Is it going to be kind of slow and steady wins the race, or is there going to need to be something that is dramatic that will show not only people in Ferndale that it's okay to shop downtown, but also outside investors that it's okay to invest in downtown? And that we don't know. We've seen examples from some jurisdictions that have pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and over time have recorrected the direction. We've seen other examples from cities that have just immediately gone forward and been able to reverse course. What we've explored and talked about is, I guess the tough question first, and that is, what about downtown makes it more needy for a subsidy or waivers as compared to another part of the city? And in the staff report, we mentioned Porto Way as an example. And for those of you that are devotees of our Facebook page, you'll see from time to time that there are people out on Porto Way that say, hey, we're the redheaded stepchild. Why don't you do a project out on Portal? Why don't you incentivize development down on Portal? We've also seen that in times of a good economy, the early 2000s, the city of Ferndale was able to put away significant reserves because development was occurring in other areas of the city and not downtown. Downtown still continued to suffer even during those peak periods of economic activity. In other words, the city of Ferndale could, in theory, prosper even if downtown is not. And that's a really tough thing to say, because it's a separation of a quality of life issue, why we live in Ferndale, and a pure fiscal issue. You know, can the city support itself? That's a question that council will ultimately need to answer. From staff's perspective, there are opportunities to provide significant incentives for downtown development, but we first have to determine what sort of development it is that we think will be enough to get that ball rolling. Is it enough for a commercial business to come in, or even a couple commercial businesses? Or is it, and this is what staff believes, is it more important to get residential development living in the downtown core so that they can then go and shop in the Ferndale shops and in turn create a new market for Ferndale shops? Again, difficult to say, and you can look at the city of Linden, look at the city of Blaine, look at some of the more urban cities, city of Redmond, Bellevue, who have taken different steps. There's certainly a huge market. There's about 10,000 people up on the hill, and that's a potential market for downtown. It was always the market for downtown when folks like the mayor were working downtown just across the street over there. That was where you would go and get groceries in the Liederbach building. Now those businesses have shifted over to the other side of the river, or in some cases they've shifted down to Bellingham at Bellis Fair, Costco, Walmart. Whether or not those type of businesses come to Ferndale or not, we hope and believe that those type of businesses could. But the question still remains, and it's not really a question, I don't think, could downtown successfully compete with those types of developments? Those types of developments are successful now because they have large parking lots, because they're convenient to the interstate, because of a whole host of other reasons why these chain stores are so good at attracting their customers. They are built with that in mind, not necessarily for quality of life, but to get revenue in and to spit it back out. Can downtown compete with those stores? The answer is most likely no, downtown can't, because downtown cannot remain downtown and compete on a one-to-one with those other businesses. They can't create those same sort of parking lots or that same kind of access. At least we don't believe that that's the case. Where downtowns can compete now is to cater more towards the office environment, having people working downtown from 8 to 5, and then have a mix of entertainment, recreation, restaurant, service activities in the evening that would then attract those folks that are either not working downtown or not working anymore downtown to go to those different businesses. If that is the case, and who knows for sure whether or not it will, if that is the case, staff feels that getting residential development downtown would be a first step. To reach a critical mass of people living downtown would be the potential way to go. And therefore, if there are incentives that are to be provided, staff would argue that those incentives, the largest or most significant, should be for residential development, with the commercial development to follow afterwards. So staff has a number of proposals to that. Eliminating potentially the park impact fee downtown, which would save about $850 per residential unit. Reducing traffic impact fees for residential development, reflecting assumptions that the trips will be reduced because there are other opportunities, that they can walk to and from the various places between 4 and 6 p.m., that they are close to the WTA bus line and therefore have the opportunity at least not to use their vehicles as much. We estimate that we could take right off the top as much as 20%, which would be about a $300 savings per unit. For commercial development, one of the things that has been, I think, a source of confusion but also an opportunity, many, if not most, of the existing commercial buildings downtown have already paid impact fees in one way or another, or are grandfathered in because when they were initially developed, the traffic was mitigated. Pioneer Center is a good example. Pioneer Center, when it was built in the late 20th century, mid-20th century, I should say, the city knew it was going to be a shopping center, and the city determined at that point that it was ready to open, that whatever traffic impacts it had were mitigated. That allows a new business to go in there without paying traffic impact fees, often without paying water and sewer fees. If the city were to choose to identify the whole of downtown as a quote-unquote shopping center, it would reduce the anticipated vehicle trips for each of the uses fairly substantially because the shopping center model anticipates that people will park in one location and will shop in a couple of different locations before getting back into their car. The amount of that reduction can be substantial for some uses, and it might be more minor for others, and that's something where some more of that research would give us a more accurate understanding. Finally, as city's proposal, in order to get that ball rolling, some other jurisdictions have identified and defined a catalyst project or multiple catalyst projects, more or less saying if you create a relatively substantial project that, let's say, has at least 20 residential units, at least 50% of the bottom floor dedicated to commercial development, reflects a downtown architectural and design standards, and other things that the council might want to put in, that those developments would have their impact fees, either in connection fees, either substantially reduced, or at your direction, even eliminated. What some jurisdictions have done is say, provided that over a certain time period, and I think this is a lesson that Blaine might have learned, you need to create a window of time for development to occur in order for it to occur. So prior to April 16th, 2014, let's say, if up to three catalyst projects have come in and received building permits or been determined to be substantially complete, then the city would grant them that amnesty, and that in turn could potentially be enough to get the ball rolling. That's going to be council's call to determine if you think that would be enough, and of course you or future councils could say, turns out it's not enough. The risk, of course, in that and in the next proposal is that there are impacts of those developments. There are still people that are using vehicles, even if it's reduced below what you'd typically assume in a suburban shopping mall example. There are still going to be trips in there. People are still going to drink water and flush their toilets, so there is going to be some of the capacity of our plants taken up. Because of the benefits of some sort of development like that coming in, the council may determine that it is worth that risk or worth that loss, because in time, the development that comes after it, or the simple fact that people living in downtown, would be sufficient to overcome those additional costs. The alternative proposal that has been brought forward is to waive those fees, similar to the Catalyst Project, but more or less saying any development downtown is worth council's consideration as something that moves the ball forward and gets us closer to the downtown that we want. And in that concept, there would still be a time period, possibly 2 years, saying any development downtown does not have to pay all or majority of the existing connection and impact fees. Obviously, depending on what type of development that is, the potential revenues lost could be more significant. Before I turn it over to questions, I do want to point out that in the staff report, we say revenues lost, quote, unquote, because the argument has been, and it is accurate to a certain extent, no development gets you no revenues. You're not going to get any sales tax revenue from a development that doesn't exist. That is true. You know, every day that a development doesn't come in, it is not generating revenues. However, it is also true that not all developments will in time earn sufficient revenues or contribute significant sales tax or property taxes to overcome what those impacts could be. And again, that's going to vary. In some cases, there might be quality of life where the importance of having an ice cream shop downtown may, from council's perspective, far outweigh the impacts that might have. Mallard's in downtown Bellingham probably generates far more traffic and probably generates far more water and sewer use than its retail sales at $2 a cone. But it is an anchor to downtown Bellingham, and downtown Bellingham is probably much better for having Mallard's downtown than not. That's a tricky balancing point, and again, goes from being a resident of Ferndale, where the quality of life is very important. And, you know, my wife said, I don't care how much it costs, get an ice cream store downtown Ferndale. But then I think from the fiscal perspective, from the fiscal perspective, how do the pluses and minuses go? Is the city losing money? So that is.
So before we get started, just for education for the audience, because a lot of people don't understand what we talk about and what we mean when we talk about downtown core.
Yes.
So they want to explain that.
The downtown core, in 2006, the city identified two downtown zones. One of them is a city center zone, and we're in that right now. It basically goes from Vista down to Alder, and then it runs the length of downtown from the river all the way to,
From this side of the bridge
from this
to Hamlin.
To Hamlin. And then on either side of it, you have the urban residential zone. The urban residential zone extends south to Pioneer Park, and then it extends north to Washington Street. The city center zone is intended as a mixed-use zone where you have commercial on the bottom, then you have residential up top. The urban residential zone is intended primarily as residential, where you have dense residential of at least 15 dwelling units per acre.
So we'll open up for a council comment. My comment from the mayor is, and I've said this before, it's not a new thing, is that in the last few years we've seen zero development downtown. So zero gets you zero. We haven't had anything. Nothing's happened. We've had incentives We've tried the multi-density. We've tried connections. That still hasn't worked. And so basically in the last few years, zero new development has happened downtown. That was the process. I know that some of you have been hearing from people about your decision to raise impact fees. I know that caused some stress for some of you. Downtown may be a totally different animal. And so tonight we're looking for a great discussion, a great dialogue. We're not looking for council direction unless you did something totally crazy. We have some people in the audience I know would like to speak, but we're okay. We're 6:55, so we've got some time. So a great time for a good discussion. When we looked at the agenda, we thought, well, this is a good time because there's not much in the agenda. Good time for a talk, and that's what politics is all about. So Councilor Zimmerman is first.
Well, Gary, I was wondering if we might open up the audience. I'd love to hear what they say. We did that walk around in the 4,000 steps, and that was, you know, it was good to see what's going on. I think we hear
a
lot of things.
I see one here from a couple people in the audience first.
Sure.
Okay, as long as it's limited and we don't go too long.
Keep the stopwatch on.
The same rules, right? 3 minutes.
Same rules, 3 minutes. So anyone if the audience would like to speak, one speaker, two speakers, we'll keep going. You're first.
Okay.
And we have no problem getting ice cream. Maybe you'd like to have something other than ice cream.
Okay, my name is Lamar McKay. I live in Everson. And I'm one of the owners of the Interfaith Building. For the past 5 years, I've been a member of the board of the FDA, helped start the farmers market, helped organize and participate in the Ferndale Cleanup Day. For the past 4 years, I'm also on the Economic Committee. And basically, what does this mean? It means I care, like you do, about the city of Ferndale. The question is, do we want to grow in downtown or do we want to stay the same? I think Yori and a lot of other people have said that 85% of our Ferndale residents ride right through Ferndale, which you get the impacts, and right on to Bellingham and do the shopping. So we get the impacts, but no dollars. And then quoting Mr. Burnett, in the future, it's going to be a lot harder to develop in downtown in the flood area. It's going to be harder as we go along. I've been told that there's been no commercial building in the last 30 years downtown. I'd like to see all fees eliminated for the next 2 years in downtown. And as the saying goes, let's get the ball rolling. Bob Bell could not make it tonight because of a previous engagement, but he wrote a letter that I'd like to read to you. In fact, I've got one here. I'll give you another. Dear Mayor, City Council, and City Staff, I am sorry I'm not able to be here this evening. I've been involved in businesses in downtown Ferndale for over 35 years. There has been an ongoing effort by businesses and citizens to encourage local development in downtown. First, it was the Ferndale Image Group, then Main Street Program, and now Ferndale Downtown Association, along with the Ferndale Chamber of Commerce and the Ferndale Economic Council. It is time to eliminate the impact fees and hookup fees for the downtown area. It has been 35 years since there has been any major development downtown. The reason is very simple, the cost of developing downtown. I believe that the city needs to take a serious look at why there has been no downtown development. The city of Linden has understood the value of local business. Their tax base is substantially higher than ours. The trade-off for eliminating the fees is that you will be increasing the tax base. Plus, you will see local developers coming back into town, bringing with them the local businesses we all want. You have nothing to lose, and we'll start to see the development downtown that we want. There have been at least 6 businesses that we have wanted to locate in Ferndale for the last 60 days, but have been turned away by these high costs. There is a reason that 85% of the money spent by Ferndale residents goes elsewhere. If these steps are not taken, Ferndale will continue to be bedroom community to Bellingham, and 85% of our money will be spent there. In closing, I would just like to say that I feel a special connection to this community. I would love to see a vibrant downtown. Respectfully submitted, Bob Bell. Thank you for listening.
Okay, questions for Lamar? No? Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
One more hand, and then I'll go back to you on it. Sure, you'll be next. Welcome, sir.
Well, I've lived in Ferndale for 5 years, and I've noticed, as all everybody has, come quitting time, there's no parking on the street at all. And has the city thought about anything about having a city parking lot? This one over here on Saturday is full. The streets are full. And I was wondering if the city had any land that they could put a city parking lot in and light it and make it a decent one. And I was thinking about how about the area down where the old police station is? Is that city on land?
No.
It's not.
You're looking at the guy. You could probably talk to the guy behind you about it.
But people at coming home in the evening, they've got a place to park, and it's only a block away. Some land such as that. I think that would help the businesses downtown a lot. So it looks like the council has one or two choices. Either make it a bedroom committee, a community, or else try and do the business downtown. And I'd like to see the business downtown go, too.
Great.
And one other thing, too, I think along the arterials coming into town, I think it would help and put a little better impression on the city if they were kind of cleaned up. And I think the city could make a real project on getting that done. And having brush right up to the roadways, that doesn't cut it for anybody that's new coming around town. I think it sure would help.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Sir? Welcome.
My name's Scott Hillius. I did not come prepared to give any kind of speech here, but I was invited by Mr. Burnett here. I'm a business owner and a real estate entrepreneur, and I've made a considerable investment in your city. And one of the reasons, going off this whole spin of what everyone's talked about here, one of the reasons I did buy this piece of property and hope to develop it was the city's decisions and what you've done with this area down here, with the new Boys and Girls Club, the development along the boardwalk there, along the river and everything. It looks like there's a real focus. So when the opportunity came for me to, and it was feasible for me to purchase this property down on Cherry Street, I saw that there was a focus and that the city was moving in that direction. It was cleaning it up. I've lived in Whatcom County my entire life, and out of Bellingham, a lot of friends in Ferndale. I'm a mechanical contractor. We actually did the mechanical on the fire station here, and I was good friends with the chief. Had a good time with that whole interesting project. And but now I have I've purchased 3 acres down here on Cherry Street, and was approached here by Yuri about the about what we can do. We had a great meeting. First time in my building career that I've actually had a real introduction to a city that was welcoming. I mean, truly welcoming to a project rather than being you're going to cut a tree down or you're going to do what? You know, I mean, just it was very, very, it was a great, great introduction. I'm excited. I was actually going to buy it and hold the property. From a demographic standpoint in real estate right now, it is not one that is welcoming to building finance. I mean, we've all seen it. Banks, they don't want to loan anything. They would rather let it go to foreclosure. They would rather see things stopped than progress. City of Bellingham is struggling with that situation. People are scared to make a move of any kind. So it was good to see that Yuri was willing to say, hey, let's get the ball rolling. Literally, he said, what is it going to take for you to look at this situation? So I just want to say that this is a good meeting, and I just want to make my presence and tell everybody that I am going to be moving in a positive way. We're still looking at fees and assessments because that's the first thing the banks ask. Oh. What are the fees? Because they're looking at an overall perspective of door. How many doors are you going to put in? What is that going to, the building's going to cost? And are the fees going to bury you? Because if you can get more doors, you can get more people, you can get more revenue, the whole thing, it all comes down to it. And so I just, you know, wasn't expecting to say anything, but I wanted to say that any one of you, your has my my contact information, and as we work through this, if anybody has a question about how we're going going forward or my input on anything, I will be available at any time to talk about it. You can call me about any kind of thing you want or an idea, because the project is it's a lump of clay right now that we're just starting to mold, and we're going to be working through things and hopefully get something great. And I want to be a positive member of this. I am not a carnivorous contractor, as you would say, where it's just going to come in here, throw up something, sell it, and bail. I want to build a nice structure. I want to hold it, and I want to be a positive member of this community. I want to be the one that you're going to be able to see in Hagen's store and shake hands with and say, hey, Scott, you know, things are coming along good, or, you know. And I want to be involved to do further expansion. I don't plan to be moving out or retire anytime soon. That'd be nice, but we all know where that is. But anyway, so yeah, Scott Hillies, and I'll give you my
way over here. Great. Okay, thank you.
But yeah, okay?
Thank you very much. Anyone else in the audience? Back here? Welcome, sir.
I didn't come prepared tonight either.
That's
okay. Terry McCaffrey, Crestline Street, here in Ferndale. Moved out here about 20 years ago and really enjoy the city. Didn't move from Bellingham because it was getting to be too much of a rat race. Kind of touching on an old subject, what you guys were doing, but kind of relates into what we're going into, sales taxes. Don't appreciate the fact you guys raised them to 8.7. But I remember, back in the old days, 7.5%, 7.8%, 8.1%, 8.3%, 8.5%, and now 8.7%. Prices of goods keep rising, yet we keep raising the sales taxes even more. We need to broaden our tax base. If we need to build little shops so we can tax those little shops, so be it. We'll have a bigger base. I'm not so great about having a big Costco here, you know, superstore. That'll change the feel of Ferndale and the whole reason why I moved out here. Anyway, I just want to bring that point that we just really need to have more tax base.
Great, Harry.
Thank you.
Questions? We didn't raise the sales taxes. The voters did. So we need to clear that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Because of the 8.7, though, that's the reason why I shop in Ferndale is because it was 8.5. And now I'm disappointed it's 8.7. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Quick question, Mayor.
Yes.
Just curious, do you shop downtown or do you come downtown? Or
as often as possible, yeah.
Is there anything that would make you come downtown more besides the Mallard's ice cream?
The parking is always a hassle. The little bridge. Even though we spent all these monies to expand it, why is it still little? Why, I mean, we're still stuck on the same bridge. It didn't change, even though we made it bigger. So parking is one. I shop at the Costco, the Hagen's. The other little stores just don't have a lot of interest here. I do the banking here. But, yeah, there's just not enough types of stores that I use for the other stuff. And so I'd love to see something in the evenings. We have a bowling alley. We don't have a movie theater. We don't have anything to really do here besides a bar. And that's not good for family.
Good.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. Anyone else? Okay, you can have one thing.
I better be good to me. One thing I did hear you already mentioned was a catalyst project. So if anyone would like to entertain my project as a catalyst project, I would love to weigh in and give back.
Number of units? Because you're residential.
Absolutely. Residential. Yes. Yes. I would consider if it was the infrastructure. I don't think would be very good for a multi-use, you know. But I would consider, you know, buying in a different project, for sure. But this one, I just don't think it's not, it doesn't have the traffic flow.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's just kind of, it's there, and that's where it is.
So a guesstimate of number of residential units?
Well, that has to do with a parking thing that we're trying to work out. The project that the developer who lost it was working on was four buildings of 24 units. That'd be 96, with a potential fifth one to bring it to 120. I would like to see the fifth one go in. 220. That's a big project, but that's a lot of cars to park.
That's a lot of people that could be walking around downtown.
Well, that and I don't only have my 3 minutes, but I would like to have a meeting that we talked about. I really like that boardwalk idea. I really did. I thought it was just and just hearing your whole 5-year thing. Now I was happy that you involved me in that conversation, and part of that conversation was really kind of nice and. And but my property kind of pieces right where a nice boardwalk would have went right down to the ball fields, and when he brought it up, it was like, wow, you know, you pan back and you really look at how the city and everything works, being, you know, just because I own a little piece, it to blend in was kind of a nice reassuring feeling too. The 120 the five pieces works out. It just has to And there's other options and other pieces and other things that we're talking about and trying to work out with the parking. The parking situation changed from in 2009, I believe it was, where my plans were mostly construed around an 2007 situation where there's 1.5 spaces per door. Because some of the units some of the units are studios, and some of the units are two bedrooms. But
we're gonna cut you off on that one and let our planning director work on.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Sounds good. What's the vacancy rate
there right now?
It's a little higher than the Bellingham rate, but my understanding is it's a little higher than Bellingham. Bellingham's, you know, just almost nil at this point. The vacancies are the equivalent of the turnaround time. And I think you're definitely looking below 5%.
Oh, yeah.
And as a landlord, where do you hit where it's a positive market? What percentage is, below 5% is a positive market?
Below 5% is definitely a positive market. It's barely above what it takes to turn a unit around. And what that means is that typically when a tenant leaves, you're probably a week to 2 weeks, depending on whether you're just going to paint or whether you're going to remodel. Sometimes it's up to a month that takes to turn it around. And if you have 100 units, 5 units down for a month is 5%. And so you don't see apartment for rent a lot, except in some situations where people are actually trying to push the market. And I've called on a couple because I do own apartments to find out, you know, what are they asking for rents? And in my estimation, they're asking too much, so they sit vacant. The ones that are reasonably priced are gone in a day or two.
Is there any way to keep the current rate on that at all?
Other than, you know, going through and surveying all of the apartment properties and finding out what their vacancy rates are, mine's zero. I have nothing available, and when one comes open, it's gone within a few days. So, which is essentially zero. And I know other property owners where it's zero, but I also see signs out there of people that have apartments for rent. I'm intrigued with this project.
Shift this back to our subject at hand.
I'm intrigued with this project of 120 units downtown for a couple of reasons. I'm also involved with the WTA, and if you put that many units in a downtown core, some of those people are going to not have vehicles and want to use the public transportation system as a way to get around. And
that's a positive for us. It's a positive for the system.
Our planning director?
I had three points just based on the comments. One of the interesting things from our conversation with Scott when we were talking about catalyst projects was the impact that such a large project could have on adjacent properties that are run down right now in that core, and that putting over 200 people in close proximity, 200 shoppers in close proximity, could have a substantial effect both to the apartments that are immediately adjacent as well as Pioneer Center, which we've heard from a variety of potential tenants is not the first choice, despite its proximity and location, because of its appearance. And that's something that we've heard repeatedly with some existing downtown locations, is its appearance that shies them away, possibly after fees, but that comes next. Other thing that I wanted to respond to, floodplain. As the council knows, within the last 6 months, you adopted new floodplain regulations in order to respond to a FEMA directive. What that did is, for the foreseeable future, the city can continue to permit downtown development throughout its downtown. And that was something that was very worrisome, because it appeared initially that some folks who had brought a suit against FEMA were looking to stop development in downtowns such as ours. But since the city passed what is actually one of the first and one of the more innovative floodplain management programs in Washington State, we are now protected thanks to council's action. Last thing regarding public parking lots. The cost of developing a parking lot space, not including maintaining it, has been estimated, and I don't have more recent than, I believe, 2007 numbers, over $10,000 a parking space when you include the drive aisles. And, of course, then does the city have enough money to do that initial investment, or does development come first and then pay for it, which is also something that could be potentially on the table prior to 2009. Development that could not create its own parking could pay an in-lieu fee to a parking fund that was intended to create a parking structure or parking lot. Since the city had never identified what it actually wanted to spend the money on, that went away, but it could come back.
Okay. Anyone else from the audience would like to speak? Sam? No? Okay, open discussion with council. I'm sure some things are on your mind. First person up, Councilperson Watson, then Goodrich.
I guess I have a question for Yori. Linden was brought up, and I'm curious what their fees are, or if they had something where they were trying to get people to come in. And and the six businesses that went elsewhere, I'm wondering if Yori actually spoke to any of those businesses. So he did. So they haven't actually come to us and gotten a bill and said, oh, we're not going to do this.
Well, not that we know of. I mean, we don't always know who comes across the counter. You know, our fees are fairly easy in public to figure out.
Just go to the website.
Yeah, and so we may not see people make that decision or not. That's
because, I mean, I hear that a lot. It's like, oh, we would come, but it's too high. And I'm like, but I guess for me personally, I like to know what is too high. I'm so sorry. I'm just wondering what is too high. Is it the traffic fees? Is it the water fees? I mean, is there something specific, or is it just the whole picture that's supposed to keep people from developing?
Boy, I don't think a staff would ever have an actual answer for that. I mean, Mr. McKay told you that, you know, it's the whole package. I don't think you're going to get a definite answer. You know, certainly you had the people talk when we raised fees in terms of the small independent person. Mm-hmm. Any sort of traffic impact fee is a hindrance. So that's a tough question.
That was Michael.
Councilperson Goodrich?
As a person that's been involved with the Economic Development Commission since it started when Paul Cook was here, which was, what, 2005, 2006, I've been associated with it. And over the years, we've seen people come and go to that commission. Mr. McKay is one of the few that have stuck it out, I think, for most of that or whatever. But I keep hearing kind of the same thing through that group, that we need to do something in our downtown area to spark the growth. What we're doing is not working because nothing's really coming in. I personally see two factors. One is the existing buildings. Whether or not the people that own those buildings want to rent them or not. We have some that are being used for storage or whatever. And what if we have the existing buildings, look at a way to make it easier for new businesses to come in. Carol, I think, could probably talk about trying to bring in her Cape business there and some of the hurdles and things that almost didn't happen. Fortunately, it did, but, other businesses, what is it going to take to bring new stuff into our existing buildings? Because I don't think we're going to see a lot of demolition in the near future of downtown. We have a lot of small businesses, small buildings, and a big guy is going to have to come in and take a whole city block. That's what happened where I used to live, is that's what they're doing. They're buying up city blocks. And they're building big structures with underground parking and everything there because they got the land now. The other issue is, to me, is the new buildings. And to those folks that are looking to build something new, I'm almost kind of agree with Mr. McKay and some of the other folks and things that maybe we need to do a two-year no-fee or almost no-fee type of a thing. And see what it does, because what we're doing, what we have in place today, what we had changed in 2005, none of that is working, because nothing is being built new. We've had new businesses come into existing places, but no new buildings built. And so I don't think we need, let's not continue down the same road that we're going down, but maybe look at something to help get that catalyst, the spark, the growth. Traffic impact fees, I drive through Main Street on my way to Best Buy or Walmart or wherever because I can't buy ink cartridges for my printer here in Ferndale. So I have a Kodak printer. I have to go into Bellingham. So I'm already driving on Main Street. Main Street's always having the effect of my travel, but yet we're not getting the cost of it. And 80% of the people in Ferndale are already going down Main Street. And so, to me, the impact fee, traffic impact fee, is kind of useless when you're talking about downtown because we're already driving by. If I could stop at some place here in town, like I did the other day when I needed some photo paper, Rite Aid carries that. Boom, I went into Rite Aid and got it. Probably paid more than I would have, but someplace else. But still, I didn't have to drive all the way into Bellingham to get it.
At $4.20 a gallon, didn't cost you hardly anything.
Yeah. So I think that's what we need to look at is two separate animals, using existing buildings versus new structures.
I have customers Zimmerman, Olson, and then Ingram.
Yeah. I support the moratorium for, let's say, 2 years on this. I love the idea that a lot of things that you've put into play right now, Yori, with the Eagle, and the idea of a catalyst type of building that is multifunctional. You have the potential small retail outlets. Myself being on, as a downtown businessman for 10 years in a very small structure, it works. You get enough of those put together, you get job opportunities, you get people coming down to visit their friends who run this, and all of a sudden you got like a little Fairhaven effect where there's a synergy that works. So I strongly support the idea of doing that. And we raise the heights that these guys knew. I'm sure, Bob and Lamar have some designs that they've been dreaming about for years, waiting for this opportunity. So I'm kind of like Paul and I were saying the other day in committee, hey, let's take off and say, go for it and see what we can do the next couple of years and really promote it. And again, we've got the building designs. I'm a big one for what's it look like? How's it function? And is it will it be good over a couple of generations from what we know?
So in your definition of catalyst, and this is one of the things that I'm wondering about. All development is a catalyst, or the larger development?
It can be. It can be. What Scott Hillis was saying, even though it's a multi, you know, multi-apartments, buildings, condos, whatever you want to do, there's still the ability to have great design into it, because now his catalyst will be part of a boardwalk, part of a greenbelt structure, part a lot of things that kind of add to the quality of life. You know, it's great that, you know, he's, you know, born and raised here. He kind of gets the feel of what we want to try to maintain and promote while still growing. So I just think it's a great opportunity. It's great to hear his enthusiasm, and it's great to hear Lamar's, you know, stick to it and us for 20 years, or Bob. I didn't believe that he'd been that long in the business. I know going back 20 years ago, we were with FIG, Ferndale Image Group, trying to get things going and just keep it going. So, so, you know, optimism never dies, I guess. So I support what you're doing, and I vote for it.
I don't think that it's as simple as to say that what we've been doing since 2005 isn't working. We've been in the worst recession the country's ever seen, and the rules of the game have changed. To look for ideas is fine, and I'm all for that. I would not support reduction or elimination of water and sewer connection fees. Both of those are constantly in trouble, and the brunt of it is paid for by the homeowners, and it's... To me, it's gone on long enough. I would not support that. Everything else, I'd be willing to look at. I don't know why we would need to be. I mean, I've heard everybody just pick 2 years out, but nobody said why that figure. What could we start with 1 year, with a possible 1 year extension to see?
Well, we had talked about that, and we got that from a couple of developers that are going. By the time you
ramp up,
by the time you do a project, design it and permit it, 12 months is a pretty short, you know, timeline nowadays to, I mean, I don't know.
Get your money?
Well, yeah, okay. by the time you're getting that money, mostly we got it where it's like, boy, 12 months just isn't enough time. From start, if you came in, started a project, that's a pretty tight timeline. Some people said 2 years was too tight.
So are you talking about taking it to completion or to just get get it out there and get an approved package?
Correct. 12 months to be able to come forward and give us a check, say, I'd like a permit for this.
Takes 12 months to get that. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
In certain cases, that's too short.
Mm-hmm.
The bank situation has changed that.
Oh,
the parameters of getting money has completely changed. Councilperson Ingram?
Thank you, Will. As we said in committee, it's time to do something. We've got zero now, and we're going to have zero tomorrow. And if we can jumpstart this thing and basically tell the developers of the world, you've been asking for this for the last 5 years that I know of, here's your chance. Put up or shut up. Build it. Or stop complaining. It's as simple as that. If we're going to do this, I agree that a year is far too short for somebody to look in the newspaper and go, ooh, they eliminated the fees downtown core. I'm going to start this development. I'm going to run over here first. I'm going to buy that piece of property. That can take a year just to work through the financing. And then while I wait for that property, I'll design the building. And then I'm going to run over here and get it approved. You're easily 18 months into it before you put shovel in the ground. So I think 2 years is pretty much a minimum time to do it. But I think we need to basically do something. And it's basically the put up or shut up ordinance to me.
Cusperson Watson and Goodrich?
I wouldn't feel comfortable completely waiving sewer and water, especially if we're going to put in 100 new units of people living there and using the sewer and the water. And we're getting ready to do these revenue bonds soon that are going to be requiring that money. So I'm not comfortable in that regard. And I'm trying to figure out, too, he's going to be over on Cherry Street, this Scott. So is that part of the downtown core that we're talking about? So that wouldn't be affected?
No, it may change your discussion to know that we are still in effect. That would qualify for half of the fees based on council action last Two years ago. Because of the we did the proximity to water and sewer, so that project would qualify for a 50% reduction of connection fees.
And also, too, I guess I'm also thinking about, you know, Poor Portal Way, which seems to get ignored quite a bit. And even just right across from Griffintown Park, you've got all this open land there, and it's right next to an exit for the freeway. Why aren't we talking about developing there as well? I mean, we really seem to focus a lot on downtown, and I know downtown is one of those things that everybody kind of has this vision of the 50s, and a town's not a town unless it has a downtown. And I guess I'm trying to figure out, does a town need a strong downtown these days, or do people just live in their houses and then they kind of come down to this general vicinity to shop, or do we actually have to have, you know, a mom-and-pop soda shop or something? I'm trying to get an idea of your vision. What do you want to see the downtown? I understand that we want to see something, but does it have to be there, or can it be more on Portal Way? Can it be across from Griffintown Park? Can it be over by Cherry? Does it have to be right there in those four blocks or five blocks?
Councilor Goodrich, and then I'm sure Mr. Zimmerman wants to come back.
I saw him.
That was one of my questions I was going to ask, is if it could be also extended into the Second Avenue area, mm-hmm. too, because that's kind of, up until recently, we didn't have a Second Avenue mm-hmm. area. With the development of the road, that's kind of opened that up to possibilities that haven't been there before. It always brings up a zoning question that I've had, where I don't agree with the north side of Vista not being a part of the downtown. To me, Vista up to Washington and all the way up, you know, 3rd and Avenue and stuff, to me that should all be part of the downtown area. But that's not the way it's zoned. But I don't know where that, you know, because we're talking about different zones now, how that would play into it and the abilities to do stuff like that. But one thing I wanted to mention, I think you touched on it, Yori, maybe I misunderstood you in your initial presentation, was any ideas of toward rebates. I would not be in favor of any type of rebate program for this type of a thing. If we're going to cut fees, to me, we cut the fees, but not implement any type of rebate like we talked about for the TIF. I think I may have misunderstood what you were saying, but I thought in one of the options or something you talked or hinted towards something like that. I just wanted to get that out there that I don't think that's the way to go.
Just to clarify, I wasn't talking about rebates. What I was talking about is there is still, unless the city can determine that by more closely examining downtown that there will actually be less trips created or less impact than we originally thought, the impacts and the trips are still there. And so someone, the city, does need to pay for them. And so that would be, the city would potentially be taking that hit and needing to pay for it out of general funds, because we can't then say, large retailer, forget about that rebate, we're going to raise your impact fees. It would be something that the city would say, we are not going to get that money from revenue, but we do accept that the impacts are coming, and the city will pay for those impacts. Unless the city can determine scientifically, you know, by doing studies, that those impacts actually do not occur.
Well, that goes back to what I said earlier about 80% of the people are leaving town anyway to go shopping someplace else. Main Street is getting that impact. How does that factor into a new development? Going in there saying, hey, you know, I'm going to pull off, you know, 10% of that 80% that's leaving already. So therefore, I don't need it.
With traffic and parks, that argument can most likely be made, at least to a certain extent. It's with the water and sewer that would be a new users of water and sewer that would have that demand on there.
Which kind of ties into what Keith was saying. Okay, Councilman
Zimmerman
and Ingram.
I was going to get just to address Councilman Watson's concept of why downtown. And 50 years ago, Ferndale had the critical mass it needed with all the different stores, and they were all filled up. And then the formula changed, the players changed, you know, the
price of gas affects things. Now what's happening is that, you know, we need to consolidate things, miniaturize things, so to speak, and recreate that critical mass. And part of the whole formula is that with the baby boomers, the way they are, they want to be down there. And part of the – there's a real intergenerational thing because a lot of the young people want to be downtown. Some of the people don't want to drive so much. They want to have a small business, want to be downtown. But it's a good place to start, and we've been trying to do it for like 20, 30 years now, is to kind of get back for that small feel and really really present a lot of little incubator opportunities for people that want to do a specialty item or work in tandem with other businesses that – they stopped to get out of the car to go to your store, but all of a sudden they went to his and his too because, oh, and that's kind of the concept of a mall, but different because we're having people live down there too. So,
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I kind of want to address what Councilmember Watson said because I totally agree with it. We spent and are continuing to spend a considerable amount of Ferndale dollars on building and maintaining and paying the debt service on Second Avenue. We have yet to get a dollar back on that from any new retail, from any new commercial, nothing, nada. If we're going to encourage development, we should encourage development on both sides of the center of the city, not just here, not just on Alder, but right out Second Avenue, where there's all that vacant ground, one big, giant, empty concrete commercial building that could be a great processing plant for anything from fish to nuts, and it's sitting there empty. We need to find a way to draw some development out into that area also. So my question to Yori is, can we tie those two packages together with the same ribbon?
So we can kind of do what you want to do. I want to dispute you for a second. We don't want to forget that we have the only coffee shop in the state of Washington that trains can come up and get a cup of coffee. So, unusual when you see that happening. It's like, okay, that's
fine. Choo choo.
Stop the train.
Choo choo.
So let's not discount Cruising Coffee. So I'll take a couple more questions, but I want to kind of take it around and give direction for staff. The staff kind of wants to go, so I'm gonna take and see where you're going. So I'll go to Councilperson Goodrich and Watson.
Well, looking at the zoning map here, instead of just dealing with the city center zone, can we include the urban residential, which I think takes us mostly up Second Avenue, and then south down to the park. And south Avenue, and you know, just instead of just defining it as the civic center, include those zones, which could include some development on Vista or in between, you know, here in Washington, stuff like that as well on the north side of the town, as well as just having to focus on the south side of Main Street. Is that feasible from a ordinance?
Again, they'll have to take it back, and then they're going to have to mathematically have a justification of, you know, it's wonderful you have opinions, and that's great. And Mr. McKay is exactly correct. Staff's going to have to come back and have a mathematical equation that someone from the other side that basically says you shouldn't be doing anything, why are you doing this? Like everything in the world, cities have to be aware of getting sued and winning or losing. Councilperson Watson.
Two questions, I guess. If staff could give us a better idea, because, I mean, I think personally I'd like to see something happen on Second Avenue around Griffintown, but also that, I apologize, what did you guys name it? The gateway that comes off of, what is the zoning, gateway? That gateway zoning, trying to get something to get people off the road at Portaway? Do we need to think about offering incentives for that area too?
Ooh, okay, now you're talking gateway. Gateway is also
and gateway's a completely
gateway's
different
also
zoning.
Main Street and Axton.
Yeah.
Now you're opening up a whole big bucket.
Yeah. Big bucket.
Well, I just want to think about if we want development to come and we want retail to come, should we just think about the Main Street corridor, or should we think about those areas of the city where we want development to come and think about, because we're not going to make a decision tonight, just something to think about, you know, do we want to think about all the little areas where we want development?
Well, we do want to give tonight, the objective tonight is to give staff, this is not just something that staff goes back and works quickly on. This is a tremendous amount of work. So we want to kind of give staff a direction we're going to go. We'll go to that in a second because I'm kind of seeing where you're going. But
and I did have one more question.
I'm fearful of, I'm watching my planning director as you're expanding your scope.
Okay, I'm going to make a whole city with you.
Okay, well, my wife wanted to have ice cream downtown. That's good.
So it's all her fault.
Because they're not going to be home to see it. So and my objective is I love having a young planning director, but I don't want to kill him.
I just, real quick, the park fees, too, because that seemed like that.
Park fees, we have a justification of park fees downtown, and you might be able to get away with that in a second, too, because there's parks there. We can show or prove the nexus because there is available parks right near there.
So that park fees, that could only be used to build new parks, right? That's not money we could use for maintenance.
That's
right.
Correct.
Okay. So we already.
And the fee that's completely not even on the table is school and
school.
Fees.
Yeah. Can't do any school. We have no control over that.
Okay. Councilperson Olson?
I was just going to say more or less what you said. This discussion is supposed to be the downtown program. Let's stay on track.
Yep. So, okay. Now, so I'm going to try to help you and Yori jump in. Is I'm getting the, I'll go the first, is I'm seeing a kind of consensus that staff wants to explore the elimination of fees. I'm seeing that. We're going to bring forward some sort of presentation.
Some fees.
Correct. I'm kind of got the direction that water and sewer connection fees, when Councilperson Olson said that, we kind of got some nods that that's probably not what we're looking at.
While you were gone, we changed
them.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
Correct. Now, the downtown core, we've reduced them by 50% now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of proximity to the plant.
Okay. Now, and the homeowners got the best I'm not completely sure is we know that we focused on the downtown core, kind of a direction to go beyond the downtown core now.
No.
Getting back to the downtown core, again, to reiterate the idea of a catalytic, you know, kind of like your conglomeration of the eagle, you know, the energy efficiency and the good of the community, and using that kind of a thinking of what would you do to package something like that, the downtown core, to kind of push it ahead, give them clearer, you know, direction of what's needed, and come up with some stuff like that. I mean, from the parks, from the tree board, to the downtown organization group, I think you get a lot of different things that you can add as kind of mediating items that can be part of the wonderful catalytic event. Where all of a sudden, you know, in the olden days, what you used to do, they'd build a big building, and the last two floors, they just leave, you know, unfinished. So as the market changes, then they go up the different one. But still, you know, taking away the impact fees right off the bat, let's get them up, get them off the ground, make it look good to the bank, and show other people that, hey, you got a building. I mean, look what old Mr. Imus in downtown, you know, Blaine. That's not filled up yet, but it sure looks good.
He has a lot of money.
I saw it yesterday, yeah.
We don't have a sugar daddy.
Well, while I would love to see something done to incentivize Second Avenue, I don't think that's a position for this discussion. I think we need to stay on the downtown core and have that discussion on Second Avenue at a future date. Mm-hmm. Downtown core contains my dream piece of property. If I was a rich enough person to develop a piece of property in downtown Ferndale, I'd buy that whole bloody block from the condos to Cherry Street on the east side of First Avenue. Because that bus right up to that big open piece of property where you could put some nice nice ground-level parking and a nice restaurant on the right at the Riverwalk level and a couple of beautiful condos above it, that's my dream for a development downtown. I'd love to be able to do that, but I don't have the money. But I think we need to stay focused on downtown on this discussion. It's just
to help you is here's – let's tell the story of Blaine so we just kind of know is that – Blaine did not make that move until a major developer came and said, I promise to do this if you do this. Mm-hmm. If a major developer came and talked about Griffintown, I'm sure all of you would listen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah.
But I'm concerned about you guys approved a pretty aggressive work plan of things that we wanted the Planning Commission to do. And, you know, you looked at that, and that basically, I mean, Yori's department has a pretty good bulk of work. And we promised you, under your direction, to have this finished by December of 12. So I appreciate that you're squeezing it down. Lamar didn't ask for all over the city. He was pretty specific. We want to keep him specific. Councilperson Goodrich?
I agree that the downtown needs something, but I'm also wondering why Second Avenue could not be added in the same discussion, because we're not talking about that big of an area. It has all the same issues as downtown. If we're talking about eliminating park fees, you got Griffintown and Vanderbilt, traffic impact fees. We got a brand new beautiful street. So there's really no, you know, you can't justify the thing. The water and sewer connection fees would be about the only thing. I don't see what that Second Avenue could not be included in the discussion real easily for what we're looking at doing in the core, unless I'm missing something.
I'm going to throw that at our planning group.
Just logistically, just so you can tell us.
Part of Second Avenue, and I'm not sure if it's south of Somerset or south of Eaton, is in the urban residential right along the east side of Second. So if the city were to have incentives for development in the urban residential, which would include Scott's and City Center, which would include Main Street, that part could be wrapped into it. We could count that. I think that the concern from my standpoint would be if we then start including the other ones, RM 1.5, Gateway, then we're expanding it where really the focus, we've talked about development outside of downtown having a negative effect on downtown. So at some point, if we incentivize development outside of downtown, it may have a negative effect on downtown.
We also have a lot of urban residential in the downtown area.
And so let's do this. Let's allow you to do some research and give an answer back to council. You have two council persons that would like to look at that. Let's do some research and then give them an answer. Okay, so now the question for you, Yori, is have you gotten enough direction of council now to kind of move forward?
With the exception of what you want to do, if anything, about large catalyst developments, if you're taking the approach that all development is a catalyst, or if you wanted to provide, for instance, we have Sam Bulos, who's just walking out, and potentially Scott, who have both talked about large projects. Is that something that you want to look at differently than the unnamed smaller projects?
Well, I kind of got the impression.
It doesn't go zero, you don't.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression all of you want to open it up to everything.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Just one last comment on Second Avenue. If you want something to incentivize development in that Second Avenue corridor, build the Thornton flyover. Because once you build that, I guarantee you that entire area will explode in development.
Janice is working on it.
Build the Thornton flyover.
Okay, so, Yori, you kind of have a direction. Was I correct in terms of council? Is that
yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
You basically want to look at everything? Councilman Goodrich?
But going back to my original plan, are we going to look at two separate items, new construction versus remodels of existing properties? Or is
it's all,
all under the same
line? I can provide more clarification of the existing really don't have a whole bunch of fees to pay, and I think that's one thing that we've seen in conversations, that there's a perception that any development, even a tenant improvement in Ferndale, is going to cost just as much as a new. But to use
a change of use would.
No. To use an example, a dance studio, the same dance studio that we've talked about, the impact fees for a dance studio to go into Pioneer Center, which they're looking at, would be zero.
Because it's a shopping
center. Because it's an existing shopping center.
But if it goes into a business on Main Street.
We'd need to look at how many trips it generates. The dance studio would generate 6.5 trips, is her calculation, per PM or during the PM peak hour. There are very few developments that did not pay for the equivalent of 6.5 PM peak hour trips. If it was brand new 6.5 peak hour trips, yeah, there's going to be more. But those existing ones, it's minor unless they need to, unless they're a restaurant and they're using a lot of water.
So the dance studio moved into Chihuahuas. We don't owe them a rebate.
Councilperson Hansen?
I've been silent up to this point on this issue. Just a couple of things. I think I'm in favor, in fact, I will say I'm in favor of the trial period of a 2-year. We need to not call it an elimination, but suspension. Because the minute you say elimination, it's like, oh, okay, it could be for, even though you say it's 2 years, it could go on forever. I'm just going to throw out the vision that I've had for quite some time about what downtown should look like in 40 years. I probably won't be around here then, but hopefully at 110 years old. You know, but
hopefully not right here.
Yeah, no, not here. I will not be right here.
America's oldest council.
Mel and I will be sitting over in the
The concept of live above where you work, live above where you play, and the vision that I would love to see in terms of a couple of catalyst units on the down, actually on Main Street, would be some 4 to 6 story structures, commercial on the bottom floor, and condos or apartments up above, have strategically located along the Main Street. It gives people an opportunity, and there are a number of people out there that would prefer not to have to have a vehicle all the time. The New Yorker concept, you know, they park the vehicle all week long. No one ever starts the thing until Friday night. Then they leave town, and then they come back Sunday night, they park the vehicle. They work and they play and they eat where they live. And they live up above everything that goes on below. A mini concept of that, meaning obviously we're not going to get 4 or 5 blocks of that in the downtown core instantly, because you're talking not millions, you're talking billions to put all that together. But if we could get a couple of developers, if we could get someone to buy the Lindale Glass site and put up a structure that would allow people to play, there's the Riverwalk right there, there are easily many restaurants within walking distance already. So what you put underneath in terms of commercial is not necessarily for the people up above it, but for everyone else. They've got land available to them. That would be a good starting point. There's 3 or 4 spots along Main Street where that could happen by developing or redeveloping a piece of property that's already there.
Okay.
Real quickly, this is for Mel. Mel, because those of you who don't know it, Mel's on the board of the president of the board of WTA.
Yeah.
A development such as Scott's, maybe two of them along that line, would that number of people living downtown give any impetus to WTA to put a circulator in Ferndale?
I can't speak to it being a circulator. Certainly we would provide service to a development that has a couple hundred people in it. We're going to have to get our loads up in Ferndale somehow before we're going to get to additional service. Right now, we can only prove 1 or 2 stops that meet the threshold of a shelter. That's 20 boardings per day.
Well, okay, probably an issue that we'll deal with when people are
right.
So I'm trying to get us out of here by 8 o'clock. I think the planning department has a direction where they want to go.
Just got the thumbs
any
up
other
from
thing
your...
to add to the planning? Anything or that's going to tell
or make the planning department's job easier?
I promise. On the parks fee, were we all kind of in agreement that we felt comfortable with the parks fee going away downtown?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I thought we were, but I wanted to make sure that we were.
Okay. Any estimation of when you would come back and present something else?
Next one?
The public would like to know.
Well, I already had it ready to go. I knew exactly what you were going to do, and if we'd only go past 8, we could have done it. We would need to do an environmental assessment through SEPA. Fairly straightforward. It's not an EIS. It's just a straightforward one. None of the changes that you're proposing at first blush would require Planning Commission review. It's just fees. So in theory, we could bring this back by the end of the relatively soon.
You want to try to capitalize on the building.
There's a
season. There's a building season that they
built. Update it the next committee, yes.
Yeah. Film at 11?
Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Council, good job.
Mayor's reports.
That was a great discussion. Okay, Mayor reports. Dimitri's, 11 o'clock Wednesday, if you want to talk about downtown cleanup day. Mr. McKay will be there looking for all kinds of great new ideas to make our downtown cleanup bigger and better than ever. I think we're looking for a task force to sneak out on Port Away and really clean up a couple of properties.
Next buildings.
Dimitri's, that's what you said.
Work Port Away.
Take him outside and show him.
Yeah.
Okay, this Thursday, Chuckanut Radio Hour at Fernhill High School. A great author, Councilperson Olson knows him well, wrote a great book the first time. He's going to a second book, great event. It's only $5. Benefits the library, Ferndale High School Auditorium, great event. But I need...
Who is it? First of Who is
Jim Lynch. Jim Lynch. But you can't go because you're going to be covering... you're going to need to let everybody in and lock up after Pertab.
Gotcha.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're committing?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that?
Yeah, I can do that. Thursday.
Public market, obviously, Saturday. That's it for mayor reports. Council reports. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Well, I'm glad you all missed me so much this last meeting. But I went down to Arizona and for over spring break, and I got to visit the biosphere, which was very exciting. And then I also got to revisit a guy named Paolo Soleri. He has a 800-acre place and all futuristic-type architecture, but he's even came up with a word that's into the English language called arcology, a combination of architecture and ecology, the father of green building. So fascinating stuff he has. But what I would like to ask my council people is permission to go on the 20 acres down here. I had a Native American contact me, and she would like to put on a little ceremony on this potential site. It's called a Sioux Indian Mole Ceremony. And we'll just see what happens. She works with the Lummi tribe, but she's a friend of mine. I told her why she's what we need is we need to do a ceremony out there. It's somewhere around Earth Day.
I think you should bring this to committee.
Okay, which committee?
Yeah. Planning and land use.
Okay. Neighborhood services, land use. Yeah, but again, I told her I'd run it by you guys to see if it was okay to step foot in there. It might be kind of muddy out there, but whatever. Okay.
Okay. Any other council reports, Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I would just say we took advantage of that spectacular Sunday we had and took the bike down to the Tulip Festival, and there was a gazillion motorcycles on the road. Oh my God, there was a lot of motorcycles on the road. I didn't see you. Yeah, I know. But I'm going to miss some of these events this next week. We're going to our youngest son's 29th birthday. So.
Okay, any other council reports? Okay, staff reports. Our treasurer.
Nothing.
City manager. Nothing. Planning, you've said enough. You're too busy. Public works. Clerk.
Seahawks scheduled to release tomorrow.
Whatever.
First game, August 11th.
With Tennessee
Titans. The quarterback flew out of Bellingham today, but a coach promised him this is the year he's going to start. heard it from me first.
But that's from his mother, so who cares?
He always
goes. Chief of Police snuck out, so no reports from him. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And second, all in full say, aye. We are adjourned. Let's go.